code. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that granting thou all kindly desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our Lord, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and all holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. According to St. Matthew.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Let us attend. At that time, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your little faith. For assuredly I say to you, or you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
The Lord comes down from Mount Tabor after his transfiguration, and immediately he comes upon this young boy afflicted by a demon in the form of epileptic seizures. It's not unlike what happens to us. After the joy that we experienced in our baptism, or in our chrismation, when we were received into the Holy Orthodox Church, or after the joy that we feel on Sunday morning in receiving Holy Communion, or especially after the joy that we experience on Holy Pascha, we go back into the world, and it feels like we are coming down from a mountain, and in the world we are immediately set upon by troubles. All the old troubles, they're still there, and now maybe even some new troubles. Why were we not able to cast out this demon? The disciples asked the Savior. Why are we not able to overcome the troubles we encounter in our daily life? Why do they get us down? Even draw us away from the church, drag us into despondency, maybe even cause doubt, smallness of faith, to begin to question even the experience that we had in the church. Well, the Lord answers, because of your little faith. But what does that mean? For he goes on to say, if you have faith even as a mustard seed. Well, brothers and sisters, a mustard seed is very, very little. So in other words, even if you have a little faith, like the little mustard seed, he says, you will say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So it sounds to me like because of your little faith means because you do not have true faith. For he goes on to say, this kind will not go out except through prayer and fasting. This true faith of the mustard seed then would be obedience to the commandment of Christ. And the commandment of Christ is summed up in this, which by the way I think is the very principle of creation. Let him who would be my disciple deny himself. In other words, let him fast. Let him take up his cross and follow me. In other words, let him pray. Let him center his life on the liturgical rhythm of the church's worship. And let him lose his life for my sake that he may find it. In other words, let him take up his cross and unite himself to me in the likeness of my death, so that he may be united to me in the likeness of my resurrection. In other words, true faith is doing the church, doing the disciplines of the church, the ascetic disciplines of the church, doing the worship of the church, centering our life on the worship of the church. Little faith, then, means not praying or fasting. Or I should say, not praying and fasting. The two go together. To have little faith is to believe in Christ no differently than do the demons. For like them, we are not denying ourselves. We are not taking up our cross to follow Christ. We are not working to unite ourselves to Christ in the likeness which would be the humble obedience of his death, that we might be united to him in his resurrection and in the power of his resurrection. Let's listen to St. Theognostus, who speaks to us in the Philokalia. He says, you will not be worthy of divine love. This is interesting to me because, as we read from the epistle last week in St. Peter, divine love is the final blossoming of St. Peter's ladder of divine ascent that he gives in verses 4 through 7 of his chapter 1 of his second epistle. And so you will not be made worthy of this divine love, says St. Theognostus. In other words, you won't come to this divine love. In other words, from the wood of the cross. In other words, from the divine qualities or virtues that grow from the humanity of Christ, those you won't reap. You won't get those if you don't take up your cross. He says, St. Theognostus says, you will not be worthy of divine love unless you possess faith, he says. But I don't mean faith of a theoretical kind. I mean the faith that we acquire as a result of practicing the virtues. In other words, prayer, fasting, taking up the cross. That's the faith by which we are made worthy of divine love. I think many Orthodox presume that they are Orthodox because they accept and they hold Orthodox beliefs now. They exchange their old beliefs for new beliefs. Now they're Orthodox. And when they come to the church and they do the worship, they do the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. Now they're Orthodox. But our church teaches us that to be Orthodox is not simply believing that Jesus died for our sins. To be Orthodox is to believe in the Orthodox manner. And that is voluntarily, freely, for the sake of Christ, to pray and to fast. In other words, to take up the cross of the church's ascesis. Orthodox faith, in other words, is to live the ascetic life of the cross. To live in our body and in our soul according to the commandments of Christ. Please understand what I'm trying to say. Orthodox faith is not believing. Orthodox faith is doing. It's work. is the work of the cross given to us in the ascetic disciplines of prayer and fasting for the purpose of moving the mountain from here to there. And on this note, I would ask you to look at the back of the bulletin this morning where we read from St. Macarius the Egyptian. To take up the cross. Who wants to take up the cross? I don't. I like my beef steak on Sunday afternoon. I like my roast beef. I don't like the fast. And you'll hear St. Macarius telling us we have to force ourselves. We have to fight a reluctant heart. Don't think that because you were chrismated and baptized that now suddenly you're going to love the church. You're going to love to come to church. You're going to love to pray. You're going to love to fast. Don't think that. What you should think is, oh, if I'm going to be Orthodox, I need to start fighting myself. I need to overcome my reluctance. I can't give in to myself. I have to fight myself. I have to come to church when I don't want to. I have to adopt a rule of prayer, and I have to fast according to my strength, according to my circumstances, whether I want to or no. This is what it is to be Orthodox. And it is by this taking up of the cross that we are healed, that our souls are transfigured. And as we die to ourselves, that's how the love of Christ begins to grow in our heart until we find that we do want to come to church. We do want to pray. We do want to fast. It says, it's said of St. John of Shanghai and San Francisco that he only slept for 2-3 hours a day. And the reason he did, it says, is because he loved God so much that he wanted to be with God. And so instead of sleeping, he was praying. Well, I'm sure that came after years and years of St. John taking up his cross, fighting himself, fighting his reluctant heart, and forcing himself to follow Christ in the ascetic disciplines of the church. But what is this mountain that is moved by faith? Our holy fathers tell us. We don't have to guess or speculate. The fathers tell us. Our church tells us what it is. It's the mountain of our passions. These passions, what St. Isaac of Styria, for example, understands as the world. Not the world that God created, but the world that man has created by the filthy and evil thoughts that dance in his mind. So that it is this filthiness, this perversion of man that fills the earth, as it says in Genesis 6:6. So much so that God repented that he had made man. And if it hadn't been for his covenant to himself that he would not destroy man, we wouldn't be here. Or let's speak theologically. The world, the mountain of the passions, this world that man has created, that we have created, fills our bodies. Maybe we could even say that this mountain is our bodies. It's our body and our soul. And these passions that grow on this mountain, they govern our thoughts, they shape our desires, our words and our deeds. They shape what we seek after. They determine what we live for they are the true treasure on the altar of our heart. We live on the mountain. We live on this mountain. In this, we are no different from Israel of old. Even as they claimed to be God's chosen people, they were bringing into their temple the idols of foreign gods. And they were even making offerings to them and singing to them and praying to them. This young boy seized by the demons, throwing him into fire and water to destroy him, is an image of Old Testament Israel destroyed by Assyria and Babylon, or rather by the gods of Assyria and Babylon, who dwelt in the idols that Israel had brought into her temple and worshiped. But this young boy also is an image of our own enslavement to the passions. Even we who believe we are Orthodox Christians. For are we not slaves to the idols of gluttony? I know I am. Lust, greed, anger, envy, vanity, self-esteem, and pride. To which of these is any one of us not a slave? How can we say that in our secret heart we are shaped and governed by the cross of Christ when we pray very little, if at all? When we fast very little, if at all? When our lives are not centered, or when our lives are centered not on the liturgical rhythm and altar of the church, but on our routine in the world. When our lives are centered not on the scriptures and prayers of the church, but on the daily newspaper, even the horoscope. How many Orthodox Christians do I hear talking about their sign? How many Orthodox Christians are glued to the TV, depending on the sporting season, the opening of new movies? What are we living for? All of this is life on the mountain, brothers and sisters. These passions or idols are the origin of all the epileptic Caesars that throw the world that man has created sometimes into the fire, sometimes into the water, because we turn away from God to follow our own will and the wisdom of our own opinions. But the origin of our enslavement to these passions is in our own will. For we have freely given our will to them. We have freely chosen to open ourselves to them, to give ourselves to them. And so we have given ourselves to the prince of the power of the air, who is able now to work in our disobedience. That's what it is. It's a subtle, unconscious, maybe unintentional disobedience, but that's what it is. And when we live like that, we open ourselves to the devil and to all his host and all his bride. And now he's able to work in our disobedience to our destruction. We know from our own experience of the passions working in us and of their power over us how profoundly we are enslaved to them. If ever we should try not to give in to them, we discover how profoundly we desire them and long to return to them. For example, even take anger, which is not a pleasant emotion. But you take anger, and when the next time that you're angry, you think about it, and you try to deny yourself the anger. See how sweet it suddenly becomes. You don't want to give up the anger. You want to learn, you want to nurse it. You want to give in to it. You want to give it all its gusto. We are corrupted at the core in our will. We desire precisely what we are in the greatest dread of, our own destruction and death. We are just like Israel in bondage to the Pharaoh. And even when they had been delivered from Pharaoh and were making their way through the wilderness to the promised land, you remember, they longed to go back to Egypt. And when they couldn't go back to Egypt, they set up the golden calf and worshiped the golden calf as they had done in Egypt. Even though we have been delivered from the evil one in our baptism, we can find ourselves longing for Egypt if we do not, in fact, return to Egypt. Our enslavement to the Pharaoh of the passions, then, isn't on the outside. It's in our hearts. And the chains of our enslavement are the desires of our own lusts and pride. The mountain of the passions, then, is great indeed, terribly great, absolutely immovable. As the mountain of the passions, it is the mountain of our death, and we absolutely cannot move it. To move this mountain, then, would be the same thing as to destroy our death. Taking up the work of faith in order to move this mountain, in order to destroy our death, brothers and sisters, this is what it is to be an Orthodox Christian. This is the faith of the Orthodox Church. This explains, then, why we cannot expel even one passion, let alone all the passions, why we cannot move the mountain of death if we do not possess this faith of the mustard seed. What does the Lord say? He says, unless a seed dies and is buried in the ground, it cannot bring forth fruit. The mustard seed then I take as an image of the Lord's death and so of his cross. This faith of the mustard seed, then, is the faith by which we unite ourselves to Christ. It is therefore the cross that we take up, the ascetic disciplines of the church that we take up, the prayers of the church that we begin to do, whether we want to or not. Prayer and fasting are the ascetic form of the cross given to those who receive Christ in faith. This faith of the mustard seed, then, is the faith that becomes flesh. It becomes incarnate in us when we take up the cross of prayer and fasting, and when we begin to incorporate our lives into the life of the church, and to center the rhythm of our life on the liturgical rhythm of the church. When we observe the seasons of the fast according to our strength, according to our circumstances, when we begin to fight, to work, to bring ourselves into the presence of Christ again and again and again, calling on the Lord Jesus Christ as often as we can remember, so that the rhythm, so that the beat of our heart becomes the prayer of the church. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Until it begins to beat in our heart on its own to become the life that we live in the world. Now the Lord says, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. In other words, the resurrection has come upon you. May we say that the littleness of this faith of the mustard seed is the finger of God. And I can imagine that the finger of God is also taken as an image of the cross. Even the finger of God then is able to move the mountain. In other words, it can cast out the demons. So even if the prayer and fasting, the life of the liturgical worship of the church, and the ascetic disciplines of the church that I am strong enough to do, even if I'm strong enough to do only a little bit of it, that much is strong enough to start the demons on the parade out of my heart. It's enough to start that mountain moving from here to there. But the point is that however strong I am, I need to do it. If I can't force myself to pray 24/7, can I force myself to pray 5 minutes? If I can't force myself to observe, to come to all the services of the church, we're having a vigil tomorrow night. If I can't force myself to come to the two and a half hours of the vigil, can I come to 30 minutes of it? Can I come to it at some point? Well, whatever I'm strong enough to do, let's do it. This is the faith of the mustard seed. And even though it may be little, it is powerful, because it is the power of God. Even the finger of God, even the prayer. So it is by the power of the finger of God, the cross, that we will make the mountain of our death move from here in our soul to there in the abyss, so that it is removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and as high as the heaven is above the earth. This is the mercy of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's given us the cross in all different sizes. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. He knows our weakness. He doesn't demand for us to take up a cross that's bigger than we can handle. And in his mercy, he can give us a little cross. Well, let's take it up. Let's do even a little cross. Let's do it. This is the faith of the church. Let us kick up our cross. Let us move the mountain from here to there in the power of Christ's cross through the prayers of our holy fathers. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.